In a previous session, we attempted to present a short biographical sketch for some of the great Greek elders of the 20th century. We used the testimony of a hierarch who spent a great deal of time around these precious vessels of the Holy Spirit. In this program, we will translate excerpts of another radio interview recorded in Athens. The radio host, Mr. Sarandaliotis, is interviewing one of Orthodoxy's brightest theologians, a spiritual child of the Thrillic Bishop of Florina, Augustinos Kandiotis, a philologist and theologian, Mr. Nikolaos Sotiropoulos. Mr. Sotiropoulos is well known for his missionary zeal and his tireless struggle for the defense of the truth and the struggle against heresy. He's heard by Greeks all over the world, and he preaches in Australia, Canada, US, and all over Greece and Cyprus. Back in the early 90s, we had the great pleasure to have Mr. Sotiropoulos visit us here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and we got to spend several days with him. And we now begin the translation of this radio program. Mr. Sotiropoulos, we would like to thank you for your kindness to join us in today's program, to speak and offer your personal experience with these great Greek elders who slept in the Lord recently, the elders who brighten the horizons of our church in these last days. Mr. Sarandaliotis, I would like to thank you for your hospitality on this radio station, on this radio program. And I would like to wish our listeners a good new year, a year of repentance and salvation. We especially need to pray so our martyric nation does not become involved in a polemic confrontation or an act of war. And if God allows such a trial due to our impiety and lack of repentance, if he allows such a trial, we pray that he protects this martyric land as much as possible. I had written an article, as you mentioned, about the elders who slept in the Lord recently. I had the great blessing to meet these truly amazing people. Father Gerasimos Makrianitis was a monk of the Holy Mountain. I met him 2 years ago when I was passing through Mount Athos. He had a great gift of the Holy Spirit. He was a hymnographer. He did not study in any university. He did not learn the ancient Greek language. However, he composed tremendous hymns, and he wrote a great number of services to saints of our church, and all this in the ancient Greek language. He's the hymnographer of the church of our days. I have studied philology, literature. I have had extensive studies of the ancient Greek language, but I'm not in a position to write hymns in the ancient Greek, or write services for the saints in the ancient Greek tongue. And he didn't do this once or twice. He has written over 100 services and many, many hymns. So while in his presence, I asked, Father Gerasimos, how do you write hymns in ancient Greek? Have you had any studies in ancient Greek? He chuckled a bit and he said, no, my child, I didn't go to school at all. But Yeranda, how do you write and compose with such ease? We are university graduates here, and we don't dare to write a single hymn in the ancient Greek tongue. We could probably do this if we lived during those times. But, my child, there is nothing impossible for the Holy Spirit. Didn't the Holy Spirit illumine the illiterate fishermen, and they possessed knowledge of all the language and all the dialects, of the then known world. The Holy Spirit also illumined me, the humble monk, and he continues to do so, so I can write these services. Mr. Dimitri, I just remember a similar case with an illiterate nun, an abbess of a monastery here in the area of Athens. She also has written a number of hymns in the ancient Greek language. She did not even finish elementary school. And a high school teacher of philology asked her, Yerondissa, abbess, how did you write hymns in the ancient Greek language without any education? She said, one day I was sitting and I felt a cool breeze and suddenly the entire area was flooded with a heavenly fragrance. And words and phrases would come to my mind, so I kept writing all these things down in ancient Greek. This is how I came up with these different hymns. The Holy Spirit flows and acts as he wills, and he provides all the gifts. And when the Holy Spirit illumines the illiterate, we have a more powerful witness of his presence, a more powerful miracle. This was the case with Father Gerasimos Mikrayanitis, who wrote so many wonderful hymns and services because the Holy Spirit was inspiring him. The Holy Spirit knows all the languages, has all the wisdom because he is God. Everything is provided by the Holy Spirit. In the ancient church, the church of the apostolic years, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was much more powerful. The dividing of gifts was much richer because it was the beginning of Christianity and God gave many gifts to solidify the faith and strengthen its foundation, as we read in the epistles of St. Paul. Our faith has not lost its power. We have gifts of the Holy Spirit today, and the church will always witness miracles and will always have true charismatic elders. Elders with tremendous gifts of clairvoyancy, tremendous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Many times when I meet people who lost their faith, unbelievers, I often suggest to them to go to pilgrimages known for obvious miracles, obvious for everyone. To go to churches where demon-possessed people gather for healing, to see the energy of demons, to see unexplainable phenomena, things that surpass the natural laws and the understanding of the natural men. And a number of people that went there, they believed. Some atheists even believed. They changed their life, and then they were admitting, you know, we thought all these things were pre-stories, myths. How much did we miss the mark? We were so deluded. Unfortunately, the shallowness, the sinfulness and the fickleness of most people keeps them away from living our faith. Mr. Sotiropoulos, you also had the blessing to be close to the great clairvoyant elder, Father Porfirios. Can you please tell us a few things about him? Of course, I was much more connected with Father Porfirios, much more so than Elder Iakovos and Gerasimos. And for years I used to hear some amazing things about this elder, but I did not pay much attention. I consider these things to be exaggerated accounts of some of their spiritual children, because around these elders sometimes we have much fanfare, thrills, and the usual works of the spiritual grapevine. So I consider these things to be somewhat stretched, and the works of the imagination of the infatuated visitors. But in this case, I was totally wrong. One day, I received a call from an associate of mine, a fellow theologian and a philologist, and this man was a rationalist, very unbelieving when it comes to signs and miracles, a doubting Thomas, no less. When he used to hear about miracles and signs, he used to snicker and mock. He used to mock the people who were talking about these things. And he was not a bad person. He was a decent theologian, serious and conscientious, but he was very close-minded about miraculous events. I remember later on, Father Porfirio telling me about this theologian, Mr. Nico. When your friend Vangelis came to meet me the first few times, he had the attitude of an investigator. He was like a secret policeman. He used to search me up and down. And I used to see his disposition. I could see his lack of trust, and I used to laugh with him inside. So this rationalist theologian called me one day, full of enthusiasm and deeply moved. I met a great and charismatic elder, a great soul, a miraculous elder. You must come to meet this man. He touched me like no one else. I changed my life 180 degrees. I said, who is this, Vangeli? Nico, this elder is Father Porfirius. You know, I hear his name for years, but I thought his fame is the result of some exaggerations. No, there is no exaggeration here. I visited a number of times personally. I went along with other theologians and professors. They were amazed. We saw miracles and wonders in front of our very eyes. I cannot adequately explain to you the magnitude of this man. You must definitely go to meet him. I said, Vangeli, I would consider these things stories and rumors and exaggerations, but since you are telling me otherwise, especially since you were mocking these things a few days ago, I have no choice to fully accept that all these things are absolutely true. So we set out with Vangeli and another Christian, and the first day we met Elder Porfirius, we witnessed a great miracle. So when we first got there, Father Porfirius asked the other Christian man who was with us, who was connected with Father Porfirius beforehand, do you have a car outside? Yes, Elder, our driver responded. Let's go for a ride to Chalkida. I must see someone. So we went to Chalkida, and we stopped at a square. So he called this person he needed to see, and they were holding a conversation inside the car. From the square, we noticed a number of trailer homes, mobile homes, belonging to some French tourists, and one of these trailers was smoking. Well, we thought they lit some grill or something next to the trailer. We didn't think much of it. The elder who was on the other side of the plaza quickly summoned the driver, and he said, my child, there's a fire inside the trailer. We must leave this area immediately. He saw the fire with his gift of clairvoyancy inside the trailer. We thought, well, it was probably a portable stove, smoking, and so on. No, the elder said, there's a huge propane tank inside the trailer. Myself and this other high school teacher were outside of this trailer watching, and suddenly we saw some people throwing a large propane tank outside of the trailer. We sat there dumbfounded, motionless. We froze. They were throwing clothes and blankets on top of this lit tank, and the fire would not go out. The flames were getting higher. Finally, by the time the fire company showed up, the gas was all used up, and the tank did not blow up. In the aftermath, we thought this was an extremely dangerous situation, and under normal circumstances, an explosion would have taken place, and we'd go up with it. The elder saw the lit tank, even though he was facing the opposite direction. He saw the grave danger, and he prayed to stop this sure accident, to stop this inferno. This stuck in my mind, and after a few months, I said, now, Elder, that day when the gas tank was lit and it failed to explode, wasn't that a miracle? Yes, my child, it was a miracle. God saved us, and along with us, all the other people in those homes, they were also saved. We were a few feet away, and we were watching confounded. We froze. On our way back from Hakila, we also experienced a miracle of the prophetic gift of the elder. It was a beautiful sunny day, late March, and we were thoroughly enjoying the ride back. And the driver said, Yeronda, tomorrow I have the day off. I'd like to come and help with some of the construction chores around the monastery. The elder said, no, you shouldn't come tomorrow. But elder, why not? I'm free tomorrow. I want to work. He was a pious man, and he wanted to donate his time to help around the monastery. And the elder repeats, I told you not to come. After a few moments, he thought to give it another try. He thought, if you don't succeed the first time, try again, like a little child. Yeronda, tomorrow I have nothing to do. I'm free. Should I come to work at the monastery? I told you not to come. You know, this man was unbelievable. The elder told him 3-4 times no, and like a broken record, he repeated again and again for the 4th and 5th time, Yeronda, tomorrow I should come to work at the monastery. I told you not to come. Tomorrow we will be snowed in here at the monastery. I listened to this in disbelief. I thought, what is the elder saying? The weather is fantastic. Great sunny skies. Where's the snow going to come from? The next day, around the hill of Malagasa, where the monastery was, there was considerable snowfall. Whatever the elder said, it came to pass, always. I know very, very many cases of his prophetic and clairvoyant gifts from my own personal experience, and many more from the experiences of my friends and relatives who would often ask me to take them to the elder to express their problem or to seek some advice, some help, or some healing. Mr. Nico, can you please mention of a few of these experiences? Because there are many people out there who have difficulty believing. They are Christian rationalists, unfortunately. I will tell you a few of these experiences. He could see your thoughts, your problems, your sins, your virtues, your passions, illnesses. He could see it all. One time I became very ill. I had excruciating pain in my lower abdomen. So I had someone call the elder to pray for my condition. And he knew the cause of this illness. He told a person who called on my behalf, his illness is due to a severe case of food poisoning from the food he ate the previous day. The doctors at the Polyclinic Hospital of Athens, where he served as a chaplain for 35 years, the doctors were amazed because he knew all the causes of the illnesses and he could describe them with their precise scientific terms. This may be difficult for some of the rationalists to believe, but none of these things are far-fetched, not at all. So when I became well, I went to see the elder to receive his blessing. And I remember having a very light pain in an area of my abdomen. But this was nothing compared to the excruciating pain I felt the previous day. So I said, Elder, I want to thank you for your prayers on my behalf. He said, Nico, how do you feel now? Well, I'm very well, Elder, thank you. Do you have any pain? No, my pain is gone. I had a minor pain, but I disregarded it totally. Don't you feel any pain? No, nothing. He says, come close to me. And the elder pointed at a very specific area of my abdomen and he said, don't you feel a little pain in this area right here? Just a little? Yes, elder, just a little bit. Well, why don't you say it? Well, elder, it really doesn't bother me much at all. At this spot, you still have some minor pain. He was a doctor of detail. Another time, I had a sharp pain on my left hand. And it wouldn't go away. So after 3-4 months, I became a little concerned and told the elder. And this time, the elder was totally blind. And while I told him about my left hand, he said, "Come over here." He pointed out a specific spot on my back, and he said, "This pain comes from this particular part of your back." He told me to do a specific exercise. I followed his recipe, and the pain went away very shortly. On one of my visits there, 3-4 young women came to visit the elder, but they were dressed very immodestly. You would think they were heading for the beach. And this about 12 years ago, before he lost his physical eyesight. These girls were semi-naked, very provocative. And I remember me being very angry inside against them. I kept my distance, of course, but I was overcome with all kinds of thoughts. Here we feel fear and awe when we come to this godly elder, and these young women dare to show up in this atrocious state, exposing their body parts. I was fuming. But after a little while, I began to harbor feelings of disenchantment against the elder as well. I was waiting and expecting the elder to set them straight, to straighten them out. I was scandalized. I thought, the elder is a holy man, a saint. Why doesn't he correct them? Of course, I didn't express any of this internal warfare of mine, and I kept silent, but I was boiling inside. I was fuming. When the elder finished his conversation with these young women, he blessed them, and he sent them on their way. The elder stared at me, and he said, "Mr. Nico?" "Yes, elder." "I'm listening." "Mr. Nico, I'm not as strict and as proper as you." "Elder, what are you saying? You are more proper than all of us put together. You are more spiritual and more advanced than all of us." "No, no, Mr. Nico, I'm not as proper as you." "Well, why are you saying this, elder?" "Well, you see, I received these young women, semi-naked, very improperly dressed, and I didn't let them have it. I didn't correct them." The elder perceived and read the entire state of my soul, my disappointment, my anger, everything I felt at that time. I became ashamed and I thought, oh my goodness, this elder doesn't miss a thing. So the elder said to me, "Mr. Nico, I have a different approach. If I began to correct them and began to advise them, they wouldn't listen to me anyway because they are girls of this world. They're not spiritual. I'm slowly attempting to strengthen their faith in Christ. And when they believe in Christ, then they will change their outward appearance all by themselves. Now, if I began to correct them, they would never listen to me anyway. And this is my approach." Many times he used to read my thoughts and I would say, "Elder, we can't hide anything from you." He would smile and say, "It's the gift of God, my child. It's not me." He saw the Turkish invasion of Attila in Cyprus in 1974. He was at the Holy Mountain at the time, and he saw it the exact moment that was taking place. He told me this himself because I heard about this and I wanted to make sure. He was talking to some pilgrims, and one of them was from Cyprus. And he pointed to the Cypriot in the group and said, "Can you draw me a map of Cyprus here?" And this man drew a quick map of Cyprus, and the elder said, "Here at this point of Cyprus," and he pointed the exact spot, "the Turks have launched an invasion at this very moment." I heard about this, and later on I asked him, "Is this true, Yolanda?" "Yes, my child, God showed me this catastrophe." One day I took along with me a bank manager who had some problems with his family, and I suggested to him to come with me to see the elder, Father Porfirios, to ask for prayers, advice, and so on. So he kept him inside at least half an hour. And even though the elder was very ill, he had numerous illnesses, much pain. If someone needed extra help, the elder would keep the people inside to advise them to help them. When this man came out, he was in disbelief. "What is this man? He took me apart, he analyzed me, he found my loose screws and put me back together. What an awesome papuli! What an awesome man of God. He told me all of my life secrets, my problems, the problem of my wife, the problem of my children, things that no one knows. And this man sees everything." At some point, I mentioned to the Christians of Canada that even today in Orthodoxy, we have holy people. We have saints. I, for example, know of an ascetic priest in Greece, and I did not mention his name. And I mentioned that a Christian woman, one of our associates, had advanced cancer, and she became afraid, so she went to see the elder. And he said, "Come, let's pray together for 5 minutes." And they prayed together, and he told her, "Don't be afraid, you will become well." She was in and out of the Metaxa Cancer Hospital of Athens, and one day, the group of doctors who were treating her for a while, they came to see her. They were no longer thinking of treatment. They totally gave up, but they were attempting to give her different pharmaceuticals to make her existence more comfortable. This cancer was at the final stages, and one day one of the university doctors, after the prayer of the elder, bolted into the room thoroughly perplexed. "Mrs. Michalopoulos, what's going on with you? So many doctors around you. Did we all make a mistake? All these pieces of equipment, time after time, did they make a mistake?" "What do you mean, doctor?" "We have so many different tests, all of them positive. The latest test shows not a single trace of cancer." "No, my doctor, you made no mistake." She knew she had cancer. She never doubted it. But she was a woman of faith. She also had confession of faith. She would defend our faith everywhere. If someone would try to question our church, she wasted no time in defending and standing up for the truth. So she says, "No, all the doctors and all the machines did well. I did have cancer, as you diagnosed correctly. But a couple days ago, before I came here for this final operation, for this final treatment, I decided to visit a holy and miraculous ascetic to ask for his prayers. We prayed together for 5 minutes, and he told me, 'Do not fear, you will get well.'" This was Penelope Michalopoulos, one of our co-workers. Someday, I took another one of our Christian co-workers by the name of Andreas Bianchi. He lives in Daphne, near Athens. And I wanted him to meet Father Porphyrios and to receive his blessing. He was a very pious and faithful man. Father Porphyrios tells him, "I see something here at this point of your head." Andreas said, "I feel fine, Elder. I don't feel anything out of the ordinary." Father Porphyrios insisted, "Yes, but I see something." 4 years later, at that precise position, Mr. Andreas was diagnosed with a malignant cancerous tumor. His eyesight began to diminish. He had dizzy spells, and all medical exams concluded that he had cancer. The consensus of the doctors was for him to be operated on. I mentioned to him, "Okay, but let's first go to Father Porphyrios to bless you with the sign of the cross." We went to the elder, and this is exactly what the elder saw 4 years before at our first meeting. The elder proceeded to describe his specific medical condition with the precise medical terms that we never heard before. He described his illness exactly how it was stated in the medical reports. We were astonished. The elder, by the way, was a graduate of the second grade of elementary school. This was the extent of his education. This man was astonished and asked, "Elder, what should I do? Should I go abroad for an operation or should I be operated here in Greece? The elder said, it would be better if you would go abroad, but even if you have the operation here in Greece, you will get well.